Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like
welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And we thank you, listeners, for joining us. And looking forward to the program tonight. And, men, I'll let you know when your callers come on. And looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do welcome everyone to tonight's broadcast. Here we are another Wednesday night with Hope is Alive, a show about deliverance, a show about testimony, a show about the captives that were set free, all in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. It's an excellent tool, excellent website. It has a wealth of information there, all at the click of a mouse. Or, if you prefer the written book, Pastor Cox wrote a book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he'll certainly get it out to you. Pastor, another Wednesday slipped up on me again.
They come around fast, don't they, Ralph?
They do.
Got through with the show.
It does. It does sometimes. You know, I just finished up the book of Judges, and about 8 or 9 chapters into the book of Samuel, and I was just thinking about the judges and how mighty they were, and warriors, and all the fantastic feats that some of them accomplished, and the great deliverances they brought, and I just keep thinking, that they don't need, they did these things, don't have the access to the power that we have today on this side of the cross.
Yes, we're so blessed to find out we have that, even though most Christians are not aware of it, it would seem, especially here in the United States. But yes, like Luke 10:19, that we have power over all the enemy, and that's referring to the demonic world. The verses in context there, verse 17 and 18, all talking about Satan and demons. And then in Luke 10:19, Jesus said that I give you power over all the enemy. How awesome is that? And even yes. beyond that, he says nothing will harm you. Well, is that good to get a hold of and start speaking out loud so it will perform itself? Amen.
Amen, it is. And that promise, and nothing shall harm you. That gives your spiritual muscles some flexing.
Amen. It certainly refers to the virus, which has got everybody's focus at the moment. Obviously,
yep.
the virus is the enemy, and no doubt there's demonic activity behind it, because it fits into the category of where Jesus said that, talking about Satan and the demons, that they come, the thief, they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and certainly the virus fits into that category. But nevertheless, again, when we declare the word that nothing will harm us, praise God, the enemy passes.
That's right. And I had a lady ask me today. I was at a customer sitting down waiting for payment, and she was just making small talk to me, and she said, "Well, you're back to work. Are they making you wear your masks?" And I said, I've got a few customers that request that I do going in, and I'm going to honor that because it's their business. I said, but, you know, I'd rather just stand on the promise of a mask. I just want to stand on the promise of Psalms 91:10 that the plague should not enter my tent. And she started grinning. So I think she understood that Psalms and understood that kind of power. And that's what we have to do. We just have to declare that word. Declare it. Declare the I am. Well, I'll tell you, there's been a group of men, Pastor, we've been getting together on Tuesday nights for prayer. And last night, the Lord was talking to us, the Holy Spirit, and we were just going, I mean, just all of us sitting there, and we were saying our I ams, and what we were in Jesus, what we are, according to the Scriptures. And I'll tell you, I think I could have lifted this vehicle above my head when I was done.
Praise God. Well, it builds a person up. The word builds you up. Hallelujah.
It does. It does. And remember those I am? Pastor Peters brought that to us years ago with the I am confessional. You can get that book by, if you need one, call Rich at the office, 307-742-7582. If you can't remember them or need some, they're available at deliveranceusa.com, because that's just not a truth that we had. Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City have that truth as well. They're there, and they recommend that you say five a day. And I'd say that's okay if you just want a snack. But if you want a good meal, repeat them all through the day. But, Pastor, do you have any testimonies for us before our callers call in?
Well, I've had an interesting case. It's been on Google Duo. That's kind of like FaceTime. You can do it on your iPhone or Android phone. I first ministered to the man, in fact, in Springfield, and then next I ministered to his wife a few days later, and it looks like their marriage is turned around. That should be a good testimony for us in the future. I even talked to the lady about coming on, but she wanted to wait a while to see if it was really true. So we'll see. But the guy, it was kind of a complicated case, but then which one isn't? You know, every one of them is so different. And yet we all marvel over that. Whoever you last ministered to, the next one is totally different. And that was the case here. You just kind of have to flex and use our weapons and tools as needed in each case. But we've been given all we need from the cross to do it, if the person is really reaching out. Of course, that's always a prerequisite. God won't go against self-will. But if the person is tired of the torment, tired of the problem areas that tormented them in some cases all their lives, if they're ready, Jesus is. And that's what we're always looking forward to when the person calls and they say, I need help. Well, that's when we can take them by the hand and get to the goal line. Praise God.
Oh, praise God. And the enemy is certainly out to devour and destroy marriages, because that is the marriage between one man and one wife. One man and one woman is just the actual building block of the kingdom of God. I mean, that is the unit of government in the home. And when the enemy gets that out of order, there's going to be more than just that marriage out of order. There'll be all kinds of things and problems in their lives. So praise God that a husband and wife went through it, and I anticipate their testimony will be fantastic. But I already know that they're probably meeting each other again for the first time.
Well, you can look at it this way. There's no way there wouldn't be better.
That's right.
Now we go through all this and we cast out these evil spirits, which are not there for their health, then they have to be better. May not be perfect, but they're definitely better. And hopefully, we know we've seen so many people, marriages turn around after this kind of ministry. I have another couple of cases lined up, one on Friday and one on Tuesday. And so, you know, we're still doing it. We're getting ready to have our first Monday night ministry open up again on June 1, Monday, June 1. So that, you know, it's been 2.5 months, Ralph. It's hard to imagine that by the time we get to the June 1. 2.5 months of, after 36 years of doing the Monday evenings cases, with a couple breaks during the Christmas New Year's period, about the only, you know, on some major holidays, but 2.5 months, I never would have thought it.
Well, I'd say everybody be raring to go, ready to meet, and ready to tack on some spirits.
Yes, yes. They may be backed out on the street. We have 15 on the list right now. But who knows who will try to show up. It's going to be a challenge trying to maintain some social distance. That's going to be a real challenge in this kind of ministry.
Yes, yes, it will. But, you know, we've got all power and authority, so if they do get too close, we don't have to worry too much about it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when talking about the marriages back together, I don't know if this is the case with this couple. I don't know if the children are out of the home, but you know how many testimonies we heard. I know it was a difference in my children's life. How much better the children are when parents go through, a husband and wife go through deliverance. You'll see a lot of times you'll see the problems that were with the children will disappear because it was just manifestations feeding off of what was going on between the mom and the dad.
Yes, yes. You know, so typically when someone wants to bring their minor children to deliverance, we recommend the parents go through first. And many times the child doesn't need it then. It's most amazing. We've had them call after the parents had gone through and advised the child doesn't need it. But if they still need it, we've still come a long ways by getting the generational curses broken at all through the from the parents.
Yeah, when you take those, a lot of times those generational curses, and I know when we go through the door closing, you stop those generational curses right there at conception, and they can't break through and go through it. So when that happens, it can't even go through you anymore to your offspring. And that would include not only your children, but your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on.
Yes. And so few people ever get that broken off. They live with the generational curses. The bulk of the people do. They don't get them canceled. But the ones that do, praise God, it's a plus.
That's right. And there's a lot of generational curses out there. I know, Pastor, with the 10 generation curse, and I was looking on something the other day about genealogy, and it was showing just how many people it takes just to make you. And when when you look at 10 generation curse, that's 1,024 ancestors.
Yeah, you figured it out.
Yes. Well, I didn't figure out. Mm-hmm. Someone else did it for me.
Okay.
But I knew when you figure the fourth, when it says in Scripture the fourth generation, you're talking mm-hmm. 32 right there. I mean, everybody's got two parents.
Well, that's right.
Four grandparents, eight multiplied
on out.
Yeah, 16 great-great. And that's a lot of people that could have messed up somewhere and intentionally or unintentionally and brought a curse upon you. So when you start looking
that's
at
right.
that 10th generation curse, that's 1,024. That's a lot of people. So, Pastor, we have Neil. Brother Neil, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Neil. I'm so glad you called in, and how exciting to be here on the show with Scriptures for America. Awesome.
Yes, it is awesome.
Well, Neil, why don't you go ahead and get some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and all and what your deliverance was like, changes you have seen, and any other experiences. So why don't you go right ahead?
Okay. We were kind of brought up in church. Went to like a Methodist church, and then we went to the non-denominational denomination church, which is a Bible church. And I accepted Jesus when I was 12, and I was baptized in that church. And later in life, I kind of went away from the Lord for a while, and later in life, about in my early 30s, I was baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and that was a great, great weight that was lifted off of me at that time. That I just felt that need to be rebaptized. And I found out about deliverance from another brother. He introduced me to a book by Derek Prince, and I really was intrigued by the idea of deliverance. It seemed like so amazing that these things can go away. The things that were bothering you, these demons, could be removed. And I was having some problems of my own. And as you go through life, you have different things happen to you, and then you pick up another problem along the way, and you carry it with you for years and years. And praise the Lord that I found out about Deliverance Ministries. And when I came in to be ministered to, it was really something. I lost my father when I was 14, and that was really a devastating thing to happen. And when we went through the ministry, they led me through some prayers and, had Jesus talk to me about it. And now it doesn't bother me like it used to. It's different. I remember good memories and not the bad ones. It's really amazing what deliverance will do for you.
your minister did inner healing with you. Got focused on those, like losing your father and what the feelings were that went that with that. And,
oh, exactly.
And wound up giving them over to Jesus. And the amazing thing about that, even for the minister, blows me away every time. Jesus takes the feelings at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And you have the memory of the event, but you don't have the feelings that were with you for clear up through adulthood.
Right, all that pain.
Jesus took them.
This is all gone.
Most amazing.
It's really a blessing from God that,
yes,
you know, His Son came and suffered and died to, allow us to have these things to for comfort and healing for us. And I'm in all of it. It's amazing.
Who ministered to you, Neil, when you came?
The first time I came in, it was Clint and his wife.
Uh-huh.
And, he did a really pretty good job, I thought. And then after, I guess it was probably about a year or two later, I came back and there's a couple other things that were still hanging on and, got those taken care of. And I've been good. It's really great to. Experience life without all these things in the background bothering you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So, did you, when these spirits, did you feel them come out, Neil, or how do you know they were departing?
Oh yeah. Well, it was a lot of burping, a little bit of coughing, and but a lot of burping when it. And
it's quite common, actually. Yeah, the majority of people do seem to experience something like that: yawning, coughing, burping. As these spirits come out, sometimes they just feel them come out top of their head, or out their fingers, or out their feet, or they've heard a little of everything, out their ear. You know,
oh yeah,
and actually feel them go, which is kind of nice in a way, but not. You don't have to feel them to get free, as we learned long ago. Some people are not real sensitive to the spirit world, and in the ministry session, some people don't feel anything. And the first one I ever saw like that many decades ago, I thought nothing happened, but then, much to my surprise, I found out what we addressed had gone. So it sinks in. It's not by feeling one gets free. They get free as a Christian speaks the word, and the word performs itself. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
So did you have any physical healing with that?
I said I've also been blessed to be able to sit in on some ministry, and.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually really interesting.
Go ahead and share anything you'd like to on it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I did sit in with Clint in another ministry he was doing, and saw a spirit manifest. And, it's just... It was amazing, the things it was saying, and it's hard to explain, but to have another spirit inside of you talking out of your mouth, it's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, the first time I ever saw that, I mean, that's what it really took for me to believe this was true, that evil spirits were around, even tormenting Christians, especially Christians, as we were to learn later. And that was when I got convinced it's real, and then maybe I'd better learn how to do this if I'm in a spiritual war. So that's how I I got to moving into that direction, reading books and all, and went from there. But as
right.
a Christian, sometimes need to see it to believe it, don't they?
Yes, they do. And that man that we were ministering to, he didn't get a lot of help that night. Because he had a lot of problems and issues, and I remember Clint sent him with a lot of prayers to go through to prepare him to come back, you know, the following week to get more ministry. But another thing that amazed me that you know there was that much power in those evil spirits. Praise Jesus that we have all power and authority to cast them out, especially
Amen.
When the person wants it.
Yes, that's it. You hit it right on. That's what we were talking about earlier. The person has to want it. And we find sometimes in our ministry sessions on Monday night that someone will bring a person, they want them delivered.
Yeah.
The person's not wanting it, but they get
coerced
into being brought there. Well, and we can't always, as a minister, can't always tell until you sit down with the person that's the case. But it never works because the person's not reaching out, and God won't go against self-will and all that. So. But there's plenty of people out there that are saying, somebody help me, I'm tired of these problems, I'm tired of this torment. And those are the
yep.
ones we want to minister to and do so well with.
Right. Well, that's where I was at. I was looking for something. I was looking for help. And the Lord showed me the way. Also,
I
was blessed to minister to another brother. He had some issues with, I believe a friend of his had died when they were younger, and he was, carrying some blame for that, and, you know, it was affecting, it carried us for years, these
mm-hmm.
bad feelings about it, and, you know, we ministered to him, and tell you the truth, I didn't know what to. When he told me about it, I was like, "Well, you know, let's have Jesus talk to you about it." And we sat there,
yeah.
and the Lord spoke to him and gave him comfort, and he left out of there a lot happier.
Praise God.
That,
the Lord
that problem was gone.
The
praise
light.
The Lord.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's more of the inner healing.
Yes.
When Jesus brings his truths, the lies that the person's bought into can finally be pushed away. And many have carried,
yes.
like that man, had carried those lies all his life, for most of his life anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, and when he had said what was going on, I didn't feel like it was, you know, he was at fault or anything. But he thought it was. He thought he was at fault, and you know, the devil would, I'm sure, use that against him to keep him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a game they
Praise
play.
Him.
So are you ministering to others up there in Maryland?
I'm offering, but everybody seems to be okay.
maybe the people in Maryland don't need it, you suppose?
No, I don't think, yeah. No, they need it. They need it worse. They need it worse than anybody, probably.
Yeah,
I keep looking around to
season, I'm sure.
find another place where people are doing ministry like that, but it's kind of hard to find them.
Yes, people call sometimes and they say, no one's doing this in my state.
Yeah.
How sad is that when the scriptures are clear on what we're doing here? And even Jesus even right. commanded believers to do it.
Exactly.
How's the bulk of the Christ, Christians, how have we missed it so much?
Bad teaching, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot, but I never heard about it until I was 44 years old myself.
Yeah.
And I could have easily missed it totally. Had not someone cared.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
It's an amazing thing to see.
If this person hadn't mentioned to me, hey, here's some help.
Yeah.
And, praise the Lord,
I've plenty of them.
Grabbed hold of it.
You can bet there's plenty of them just like him all around you out there in Maryland, Neil.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, keep my eye out for
you. You know, the Lord a lot of times will send people to you just as you show yourself approved and you've gained the knowledge in this to help them. And the Lord will often send people. So just be ready to recognize that somebody is seeking this kind of help.
Yes, sir. Yep.
The need is much, and the workers are few, it seems.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit.
The workers are few, and
the need is much,
it would seem.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah, and it's the same even in Oklahoma.
Well, Neil, you're probably doing more than you think just by what you've witnessed to people. It may be months down the road, it may be a year down the road, it might be something. You know, you don't know how many people you've talked to that, well, maybe
right.
I don't want to do this with Neil, but maybe they've gone on and checked out the website, or maybe they've done some stuff. But you'll be surprised.
Right.
You'll be surprised.
That's
what
I consider planting seeds.
Yeah, you're planting seeds, and we have no idea who we've reached just by saying the right word at the right time. And the thing about deliverance, and I think this you'll agree with me on this, brother, is it gives you more compassion towards what people are going through, and
you're a lot less
minister
judgmental.
Them in a different way. Yeah, the little less condemning and more helping.
Yes, absolutely, and we all need that. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And
well,
I would also bet that because of him going through deliverance and the training, he's probably tearing down strongholds in Maryland every day in his prayer closet.
Yes. And what happens is that's happened with deliverance ministries from 36 years ago. Every person you minister to, many of them anyway, will share how their life turned around, and so the word of mouth will get around and start building you a base and they'll refer people to you, Neil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I believe that. I'm just
ministries.
Trying to be ready here.
Well, you got a good base under you, brother. You're ready. Go forth.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Neil, how many years were you involved with Scriptures for America before you found out about deliverance?
Oh, my. Probably 15.
It's about the same.
Yeah, probably about 15 years or so.
Yeah. So, like the listeners out there to take notice of that is how many years under the good sound teaching we had under Pastor Peters, and I think Pastor Peters is getting ready to show us this. I could sit back and hear some of his messages and the way he changed, the way he was coming. But, you know,
yeah,
I know there's many out there within our, many of those within Scripture America take notice, because here's Brother Neil, here's Brother Ralph here, who've been involved with the ministries, and we needed it. We were suffering, we had problems, and somebody reached out to us, and when we reached out to each other and be able to help those in accomplishing, has made us a, I think, 10 times a warrior for Scriptures for America and for those in our community because of deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Praise God. Well, Neil, we're out of time. Thanks so much for calling in from up there in Maryland and sharing where you've come from and what you're doing today. God bless you, Neil.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks for having me. Have a great night.
Thanks, Neil. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Well, Pastor, we have our next caller with us. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Loopy? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're
right. Okay, good deal.
Yeah, Loopy, Ralph's on here with me. He's up in the Branson area. And why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself? When you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like, and here you became a team leader, and just share some experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on. Hi, Ralph. It's been a while.
It has. Thanks for joining us again.
I was born again when I was 20 years old, and, I can look back and know that, you know, when it says that God pulls on your heartstrings, He actually did. I can look back and feel that. The unfortunate thing is I never got discipled, and so I didn't have that foundation laid. And I'm talking about discipled by a human, but at that time I got hungry for the Word and started reading the Word relentlessly and stuff like that. And then as time goes by, life happens, and I ended up straying away a couple of times in my walk with the Lord. And it was because I didn't really know why until I ended up going through deliverance as to why I ended up walking away. In those two walks, it was just the enemy trying to destroy my life as I look back, in those two times that I strayed away. And so the last time, was the worst. I was dealing with depression. I was dealing with, oh my goodness, there were so many things going on. I was so, bound up by the enemy. I didn't feel like there was any hope, and I had people in my life praying for me, and it was just at a point in time in my life that, there's times in your life that you can't pray for yourself, that you feel like, and so you're walking through all this oppression or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, a lady that had gone to Deliverance Ministry told me, she goes, you know what? Me and my husband have been going to this, and I think that might help you. And at that time, I was so desperate. I was willing to do whatever just for my life to change. So I ended up going 3 separate times, and I felt something inside of me move the first couple of times. Things were happening. I didn't really understand deliverance, and the second time around, a gentleman was trying to do the head demon technique on me, and I didn't know what in the world was going on, and there were 2 people there, and the other person looked at me, and he knew I was confused, and he was like, well, let's go on. Anyway, the third time I went through, I got complete freedom from the depression, the lust. There was so anger, rage, condemnation, you name it. There was a lot of things that went through that. And the reason I want to share that part is because if there's people out there that's listening that seem to be on a cycle and they can't break that cycle, well, the thing that I've learned is deliverance is the answer to that, because we need the inside of us cleaned out. We need all these things cleaned out from us. I was driven by fear, and I didn't know that because I was tortured as a child, 3 years old, and then the lust came in when I was molested as a 3 year old. Excuse me. And anyway, after deliverance, I started figuring out, well, that fear was every time the Lord tried to take me to a deeper place, I would see things in the spirit, and I didn't understand, and it scared me. And so those two things were the major things in my life that God healed me from. And so right after that, the very next day, I recall driving up to a red light, and I get a glance of a homeless woman walking up and down the median, and you know how thoughts go through your head, and all of a sudden I recognize, and this is the biggest lesson, part of the lesson of deliverance for me, I recognize that those were negative thoughts, and I said, oh Lord, forgive me, and I said, I bless that lady, and I don't know anything about her life. And so that was I recognize now that that was the first step for me to learn how to take my thoughts captive. A lot of people aren't learning how to recognize when the enemy is throwing darts at them and taking those thoughts captive. And Jan was my deliverance minister, and she told me, she goes, the second you recognize negative thoughts, you have to rebuke them and tell them to go and ask for forgiveness if you agreed with the enemy. And so that was the biggest note that I noticed. But after that, before that, I thought that I was really a positive person. And I was, as far as I knew, always thinking positive, trying to talk positive. And so anyway, the Holy Spirit started taking over my verbiage. And I would hear the Holy Spirit as I'm fixing to have a conversation. He'd say, is that what you want to say? Are you sure you want to say that? So I'm hearing this, and people are looking at me because I'm hearing something in my head, and they're wondering what's going on. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm responding to the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, obviously that's not what I'm supposed to be saying. Anyway, so he changed my verbiage. He changed my thoughts. He taught me how to take thoughts captive. And so since I've been doing ministry in the last couple of years, what I want people to understand is after deliverance, that's not like driving through a fast food place and saying, okay, I'm clean, we're good, let's go on life as usual. It's really not life as usual. You've made the enemy mad, and because he's lost ground, and he's not going away just because he's gone. I had attacked after that, and it was trying to bring me down, trying to get me to agree with him again. And thank goodness I was surrounded by good people, and they prayed for me and walked me through. So the first year, I got hit, and I fell on my hind end, and I had to pick myself up and go. And so through that walk with reading my Bible, learning all the things my biggest suggestion, if you go to Deliverance, go to the classes. Learn how to build a stable foundation underneath your...
Well, guys, I think we lost her. We'll see if she'll maybe give us a call back.
Yes. All right. She's certainly correct in that it's rarer that you wouldn't need some continuing activity or deliverance, and hopefully the person themselves have learned how to do it, you know, themselves.
Yeah.
That Luke 10:19 and into anything that's making an attack at you, renounce it, rebuke it, and cast it out.
Amen. We've got her back. Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. I saw that, and I actually prayed for the airways before I got on there. Anyway, it's okay. I don't know how many deliverance I've done since then. And what I've noticed, the people that dig in and start moving forward in the Word and praying and doing all the things to stay pure and to know how to be close to God, have made a difference. And I've also seen some people that felt like, okay, I'm clean, I'm good, and I don't have to do anything else. Where you lost me at is the second year. I felt the hit from the enemy. I felt the jar, but I wasn't moved. Like, I wasn't knocked down. And so that's been my prayer every year, for just to have a deeper walk with the Lord. And it's been happening. I start out the year with a couple of words and scriptures and go into depth and claiming that all year long. And so, like I said, the second year I did feel the hit, and that's all it was a hit. And so the third year, when the enemy come at me, and that means that my roots are getting stronger and deeper, it was just like a breeze. It was just, I knew the enemy was around, but I wasn't going to be moved. And so now this year, I feel the dart hit and they fall. I feel them hit. But it's because of recognizing the second, if these thoughts are coming at you or whatever's happening, you just take those thoughts captive and get rid of them. Don't agree with the enemy. You're not the same person you used to be. So you don't have to continue in that. And it's sometimes when people can't get rid of whatever it is, they've been caught in a cycle. And so what I've seen about deliverance is, those people that dearly, dearly want to be set free are going to do everything they need to do to stay free and to walk with the Lord. And just for whatever reason, some people are more determined than others, I guess is the best way to see it. But God's been, you know, there's a couple of girls that I'm mentoring and helping them learn how to take those thoughts captive, how to do all these things. But as far as I'm concerned, the biggest thing that needs to happen is you've got to continue to take the classes. Even if you're not going to be a deliverance minister, take the classes long enough to have a foundation underneath you, to where you're not going back to your old lifestyle, to going back to living in the world and being stronger. I've seen so many people go through deliverance, and my goodness, what God is ready to set some people free. He's ready to make a difference in their lives. But this is where free will comes in. We have to make that decision to want to be free. And He's going to help us along if we make that decision to walk in that freedom, walk in peace, So many people ask me, why are you so peaceful? It's like we have to know who we are in Christ, and that's where I start with whenever I mentor people. It's like you have to know who you are in Christ first in order for us to, for you to be able to go to the next level, for you to be able to fight the good fight. I mean, it really is a fight out there. And people are just not aware. Unfortunately, the church is not really teaching how to fight. We're not learning in church who we are in Christ and how to fight. And I'm hoping through this thing, this shaking that we've gone through, that people are more diligent and digging in the Word. Going through this COVID thing, I'm opening up the Bible every day and saying, okay, let's open up the newspaper, see what it has to say, because everywhere the Lord's leading me, He's already telling us what's going on. Don't be afraid. I'm walking this through with you. And just be diligent with all that. I was able to do a couple of ministries over the phone during this time, and so many people are seeking for hope. They're seeking to be set free. They're seeking to, there's got to be a better life than a life cycle of negativity, because that's what I see in the world, it's negativity. But yeah, I recommend everybody do this. At least to be able to, now that I'll have a conversation with somebody and I recognize some of the stuff that they're dealing with and some of the stuff that's coming against them in this world, I'm able to recognize trauma. What I really like the best part of deliverance is being able to do inner healing with everyone. I have seen people in just minutes, the Lord just healed those memories, healed that trauma, and they just are in awe. They can't believe that in just a minute these memories are healed, that you no longer have to live with this pain that the enemy has put on you. And so one of the biggest things, and the reason I want to share this, is because there's so many women that have gone through an abortion. I went through an abortion at age 20, and we were young and stupid, both me and my husband, not knowing, we were so poor, not knowing anything. And so what the enemy, the picture that the enemy used against me was, I remember laying there when the procedure was being done and having a picture planted in my head of my daughter being ripped out of me. And that picture haunted me forever. And so the Lord healed me. I went through ministry with Mary Jo on that, and the Lord healed me of that. And I got to see the Lord put my baby daughter on her chest, on his chest, and take her to heaven with him. And so many women out there, and even men are affected, because sometimes they're not given a choice on whether they can keep their child or not, are dealing with that trauma of abortion. And so I'm here to tell you, if anybody's out there listening and they've had an abortion, you can be healed. You no longer have to be tormented because you did that. And so healing is available to you, but you have to reach out to someone. And so that is a major issue in the United States right now. And so I've helped some women go through the inner healing of that, and that was a major healing for me in my life, and it was I'm telling you, not to be tormented by that picture anymore is so freeing. And so what I've noticed, too, about deliverance is there's we've lived such a life that I've had trauma from age 3 on up. And so deliverance is also layers of healing. In the last 3 years, it's been layers of healing for me. Once another layer's gone, then God takes me, and there's going to be another layer. And so it's not.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Lupe, we're
not
about
just
out
an
of
easy
time.
Fix. Anyway.
We're out of time, Lupe. In a few seconds, could you just kind of say anything else to the listeners you'd like to say before we hang up?
I'm saying that it's not as bad as the movies say it is. It's really a bunch of prayers that we walk through to heal you of your trauma and stuff like that. So a lot of people think that deliverance is some kind of crazy thing because the movies have done that to people. So it's not. It's a good thing for you to go through deliverance.
Yes, that's wonderful. Oh, what a testimony. That was awesome. You have some God-given gifts there, Lupe, that you'll be continuing to utilize through the years. Thank you so much for sharing. That was a great teaching you did there also. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yes, blessings. Bye.
You know, she talked about with taking the thoughts captive. You know, for many, many years, I knew that scripture, was told by brothers in Christ that, well, my problem is I haven't learned to control the flesh. You can't take my thoughts captive. And when I learned that not all those thoughts are my thoughts and was able to cast a lot of those voices out,
yes,
taking thoughts captives is pretty easy, especially when you you're given the tool, perish the thought. So, and
amen.
Like the way she says it, as the thoughts come in and you come in agreement with it, you might hear those thoughts, well, you're just a loser, and then you come in agreement with it, or you know, it could be, well, it won't hurt to look at that porn one more time, just this time, or it won't hurt to. You know, if you take this drug or whatever it may be, or just you want to just hold on to that bitterness and that anger and not forgive when you're told contrary to that, and that's part of taking your thoughts captive, the obedience of Jesus and doing what the Word says. So we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. Again, if you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, or get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox, A Manual for Deliverance. It's a very well-done book, very well set out, laid out, step-by-step process for giving deliverance to others or maintaining or even self-deliverance. You can obtain that again by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. We do thank you, everybody, for taking their time to join us this evening. God bless, and we'll see you next week.
And God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes.
You are